Steve Quayle will take his phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Stephen Quayle. We're going to take your phone calls. They continue to line up, Stephen. Preparedness, very quickly, what do you think we should have on hand?
Well, first of all, it's always food first, because given the pricing, if you go ahead and buy food ahead of time, I'm talking like things like canned soups, the chunky soups, sardines, because even sardines are going to disappear, George. We're watching the salmon. Obviously, the omega-3s, good, healthy food is going to be tough, but seafood especially. I know that given I talk to a lot of fishermen, they're talking about their catches are diminishing, and I think the thing that people need to realize is that it's not just a question of what you can buy, but the availability. It won't be available at any price if stuff can't get to the stores. Next thing is water storage and purification. People will be drinking water they used to only walk through, and they're going to need a good purifier. There's tons of good water purifiers out there. I think they need a household filter like the Big Berkey, or they need something like a Katadyn, spelled K-A-T-A-D-Y-N. For the people that live on the coast, Katadyn makes what's called the Pure Survivor 35. It's the only handheld desalinator. You have to have a special desalinator to take the salt out of salt water to turn it into clean fresh water. The other thing is medical supplies, and people that need to have special medications for whatever health maladies they have, they need to get a doctor that will give them extra. I know there are people that live on fixed incomes. They need to contact their relatives. I think people that need to recognize they have to have some place to go. And it's my prayer, even for the people that are in the coastal areas that have relatives outside of coastal areas, that the relatives will welcome their family members in. I think people need to recognize that once the real quakes start happening in this country, the prevalence of fresh water is going to diminish rapidly. The changes in where a well might have had fresh water before may have no water from that point forward. Things are going to get really tough. And I think that storing water is critical. The cheap way to store water for those who have land is get one of those above-ground pools. You can buy them at Costco or whatever. Some take a couple thousand gallons, fill them up. They've got a cover on them. At least you can use that water to flush the toilets with. People live in apartment houses. They can grow vegetables. They can get the little Aero Garden, A-E-R-O. It's a commercial product. Has grow lights and everything. And ultimately,
that's a good idea, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, the best site I know of for all this kind of information is James Rawls' site, Survival Blog.
And Standale, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, listen, everyone who's listening to my voice should get Holly Dale's book. She wrote it as a practical hands-on book because it's kind of like a checklist, George. A pilot knows, even though he thinks he's got everything in his head, he still runs through the checklist. Holly wrote a book called Dare to Prepare. And I love the title. I commend her every time I can. Dare. You have to dare. You have to dare against the ridicule. You have to dare against even going, well, is this really going to happen? But if you prepare, the point is that that's like life assurance as opposed to life insurance. Insurance usually means something bad has to happen to collect. Dare to Prepare is available from Stan and Holly Dale at the same number. They're my webmasters, 719-547-9100. Again, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. Last time I gave their number out, I mean, their phone rang through the night, but 719-547-9100. For people that have loved ones that are concerned that they're in harm's way, giving that book is like giving a fresh breath of air to someone who's suffocating by all of the different actions and reactions taking place. It is marvelously written. It is practical. It is functional. And it tells people how to do it on limited budgets. It's not you have to have massive amounts of money. And I think the critical thing, too, is identifying like-minded people. I think that's one of the nice things about Coast. You always refer to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners who are faithful and who listen and really want to know what to do, they can find like-minded people. Unfortunately, I think it'll be at the time, at the worst of time, it seems like that's when the best in people come out. Not only the worst of people, but the best in people come out. It's still a wonderful, wonderful America from the standpoint the people are good. Everything else can when I say good, people who love their country as it was, not what it's become, but as it was, a bastion of freedom. And I got to tell you something. You can directly relate not only the judgment and the shape of this country into the, just the way the attitude in the country towards God. Whether people like to admit it or not, the country was a lot better off when people honored God. They walked in his ways. They considered him. They were grateful. And I think I tell people every now and then, I say, when's the last time you heard the national anthem? And I said, where there were amber waves of grain, what you're going to only see is desolate fields of dust. And I think it's important for people to understand that this is a worldwide situation. I've said it before. God judges nations in history and individuals in eternity.
It's an interesting time, Stephen. Let's take some calls. You ready?
Go for it.
West of the Rockies, you're on with Stephen Quayle. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir. You're Dale from Las Vegas.
That's right. Okay. And Stephen Quayle has really hit it on the head tonight very well about preparations. He's right. Something's about to occur. I used to work in particle physics, and I just kind of was interested in what he's interested in. Just, it's a coincidence, but I know you don't believe in that.
No.
But anyway.
It happens for a reason, Dale.
Yeah. Okay. The thing is, he was talking about these, what he calls devils, you know, that they're actually men. And these men, George, you've had some of them on your show.
I've had the devils on my show?
Yeah, you didn't even realize they're talking right to you. Anyway, they're, of course, part of the Illuminati, and actually that part is very real. But the part about the colliders at CERN causing problems, that part, I guarantee you, that's not going to happen. And Michio Kaku said that on your program.
Well, I hope that's definitely the case, Dale. I do. First-time caller line, Sherry in Oklahoma. Hi there.
Yes, hi. My question was about what an average person could do to be ready. And, Steve, you've really gone over that quite well. I plan on getting some books tomorrow and as soon as you open. And I also wanted to know, where do you think the best place to live in the United States will be during all this time?
Well, that's interesting. Most of us, Stephen, just can't pick up and leave. So
I
what
understand.
Do we do?
Well, I can. So what do you recommend?
Well, for those who can, and I know this is going to sound really difficult for a lot of people, but being on the coast, whether it's a Gulf Coast, a West Coast, or the East Coast, are a number one concern. Not you want to go to some place, and I tell people that are looking for rural property, they must look for property that has originating water on it, not just that flows through it. That means a spring, a well. Water is going to be everything.
Okay, so I'm in Oklahoma. I should have a place with a well? That would be good?
Yep, and I would say this. In Oklahoma, I would look east of where you're at to get away from, the part of the country you're in. You don't have a lot of cover, so you basically, the safest place, it's always been the case, is someplace with mountains. So that means you'd have to head to pretty much the east would be closer to you than the Rocky Mountains.
Someplace with what?
The mountains.
Oh, with mountains. Mountains.
Yep.
Okay.
And when I say mountains, I mean mountains, not rolling hills.
Okay. So that wouldn't even be in Oklahoma then, would it?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Probably going to have to leave that area.
What state would you recommend?
What state I would recommend is I would look at the mountains of Tennessee. I'd look at the mountains of any of the Smoky Mountain area, or I'd look at the Pacific Northwest, being away from the coast on this side of the Cascades, meaning the eastern side of the Cascades. And obviously, I live in Montana.
New Mexico's not bad, Stephen.
No, New Mexico's really good, especially the areas around Cloudcroft. Any place where there are
mountains.
Cloudcroft.
Okay.
That's New Mexico. So you want to be in the mountains. You want to be not in the desert, because the water is going to be the primary issue. And you want to, wherever there's a water source and wherever there's mountains and wherever it's away from the coast, that's the best place. By the way, Stan and Holly Dale have a wonderful disc called Prudent Places.
Okay.
And Prudent Places can be ordered at that 719-547-9100 because did it. They did it by what's the areas that have the best hospitals, the best infrastructure, all the stuff that you would want to know they've put into that disc.
Sherry, you're going to move? You're going to do it?
I will. Well, I'm going. What I do is I'm going to pray about it and see what God says, but I'm looking for information. And what about Sedona, Arizona? A lot of people are moving there. Is that sounding like a good place or bad?
No, too dry and you don't want to be. If you're going to be in Arizona, you want to be in the area around Prescott. You want to be in the area way north of where the temperature and the climate, because, again, you've got too many issues. And my concern, George, is that the ground events, the earthquakes, et cetera, are going to reallocate the subterranean aquifers. And that's why I'm recommending everybody has water stored beyond what they think. Whatever they think they should store, I tell people to triple or quadruple it.
Okay, next up, let's go to east of the Rockies. Hey, Brenda in Tampa, Florida. Hi.
Hi. Good show tonight.
Thank you, Brenda.
I have a question, or actually two. I watched a documentary. It was a British gentleman, and he was saying that they are already preparing some of the concentration camps for the many people they want to, you know, get rid of.
Absolutely.
Is that true?
Yes, Alex Jones has done a wonderful job for if you're on the Internet, are you on the Internet?
Yes.
Type in Rex, REX84, okay?
Uh-huh.
X84. It's openly talked about. The point is that the funding for the prison camps are already in place. You've heard of the trains. This stuff is all real, and it all is predicated upon an event will take place in the United States or multiple events that will require people being moved into, quote, internment or concentration camps. And concentration is the correct word for it. And so I would tell you to look up Rex84, and I think that look up also Operation Garden Plot, like a garden and plot, P-L-O-T.
I'm horrified. At what point, I mean, how much more years do we, you know, have?
I don't know the timing. It's not year-driven. It's event-driven.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you that, but I can tell you a good example of what would take place to do that.
Okay.
Washington, D.C. is open-sourced talking about being hit with a nuclear weapon. The bottom line is that people can argue, do suitcase nukes exist? The point is that nuclear weapons are available and have been for almost 15 years on the black market. The going price years ago for a nuclear weapon in the kiloton range was $5 million. Different areas around the world were almost a laughing stock. You could get anything you want. If you had the color of money, you could buy it. It exists. So,
and that's still the case.
That is still the case. I interviewed some of those people, George, and it was almost funny to them that they thought Americans were so naive. By the way, when you and I first started talking about that on Coast, every time we would do that, the CIA would bring out one of their mouthpieces and say there are no such things as suitcase nukes. Well, I hired an old Cold War warrior who was a Madison Avenue attorney, and I said, will you go out and look for a instruction manual for these? They have different model numbers. Well, the point is that I guess the translation to Russian wasn't quite effective, and so everybody and their dog got worried that an attorney was looking for a suitcase note as opposed to the,
buy.
Needless to say, his beautiful Madison Avenue law firm got trashed. They all laughed about it, but the point is that really happened. So that doesn't happen if these things don't exist.
That's so true. Let's take some more calls. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, it's Kathy, isn't it, in Washington?
Yes, in Washington.
I'm psychic. Yeah. Go ahead, Kath.
Well, hey, talk about psychic. Well, we've had some really good weather here lately, and so if there's weather control, you know, I can believe that. You know, I've heard about the HAARP project. I've heard about a lot of the stuff he talks about, and I agree. I just love this program. And I'm a worldly woman. I know a lot about a lot of stuff, and I've had a varied life. I have a cousin who's a physicist. I have a sister who's an archaeologist, and her husband has a PhD in archaeology. And I used to go to this church that Marilyn Quayle's the vice president's wife's parents went to. We used to go to a sister church. And Reverend Bob Thien used to come to Seattle all the time for conferences, and this place is called Bracket Church. We used to have classes where we would be taught to vote Republican. Okay?
I'm with you.
Yeah, okay. So I know a lot about a lot of things, and I've studied. I have an uncle who wrote a book about evil, and he studied the Bible. He used to go to a church in Reno with his wife, who's black. They went to a black church. I've been to there. I've been a lot of places. I've been in the military. I've seen how they do things. And, yes, there's going to be a lot of changes. I believe that. But I believe that the fallen angels are the aliens.
Fallen angels. Well, you know, you're not alone in that theory.
No, and I, in my book, Aliens and Fallen Angels, that's exactly what I maintain. The word angel in both Hebrew and Greek basically means messenger or ministering spirit. So the point is that it's like yours, George, and my favorite Twilight Zone, To Serve Mankind.
I love that one.
Me too. And the thing that's fascinating is, and this is the thing that's really interesting, what I tell people is, do you really believe that extraterrestrials got to come here to basically take out cow udders and to tamper with women's ovaries or men's
yes.
sperm? You know, I'm trying to be delicate here. But the point is that, no, these fallen angels in the Bible, by the way, they were cannibals. When Joshua and Caleb went into the Promised Land, they said that the land was a terrible land. They were as grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. Because of cannibals, the giants had such ferocious appetites, they ate people. And the fascinating thing, you know, fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this is what's amazing. This tie, this threat goes throughout all civilizations, throughout all time. They all were cannibals. And that's something that most people don't understand, what happened in Latin America, South America, Aztec, Incas, Mayans, the Carnacawas in Texas. All of these entities, they turned into cannibals. And the point is that the natives, the ones that were, let's just say this, vegetarians, in order to stay alive and not end up on the plate, had to come up with ingenious ways to kill the giants. One of the ways they did it was through smoke and suffocating them in caves. And so when you go into the British folklore, the Irish folklore, the Celtic folklore, you always have the giants grinding bones or basically just chomping on Uncle George.
And again, you believe the giants are the offspring of the
yes.
Nephilim, the fallen ones.
Right, the Nephilim are the fallen ones, but the giants, okay, are the offspring. And one lady sent me an email and says, well, what did that do to the women? And I said, it wasn't easy.
No, I guess it would not be. Well, stick with us. Stephen Quayle is our guest. We've got final phone calls right around the corner. I'll also tell you a little bit about what's in store tomorrow. Of course, it'll be Friday into Saturday morning. Open lines. If you need to get to Steve's website, there's a link at coasttocoastam.com. He'll read all his emails, and he'll answer as many of them as he can. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in just a moment for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next program, of course, get ready. Get ready indeed for Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. Hey, by the way, again, go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. On the left-hand side of the screen, a yellow banner. Click that to sponsor Children for Children International. And welcome back to Coast. We've got Stephen Quayle, and we've got your phone call. Stephen, they're going to go by quickly. Let's take some more. You ready?
Absolutely.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. We've got you, Julie, in Arizona. Hi, Julie.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking my call. And, Steve, thank you for your ministry. I've been waiting all week ever since I saw George posted up on the website that you were going to be on tonight. I'm a little bit nervous, but I have been doing everything that you've been suggesting. I have a question, and I'd like to make another comment before my question, if that's okay, George.
Sure.
Oh, God, this is so, it is very empowering, Steve, what you're telling us, yet at the same time, when you mentioned biblically, when it said these were the times of sorrows, just beginning, Steve, I couldn't agree with you more. As well prepared as we are, and we've been doing the food storage and the water storage and everything, I find myself very sad most of the time.
What do you mean by sad?
I cry a lot.
You're crying now.
I am.
You're okay.
I am, but George and Steve and all your listeners, I feel like there's so many of us that are listening, but yet I know we all have family and friends that aren't. And that's where my sorrow comes. My friends, my neighbors, my family especially, they won't listen. And I know I can only do what I can do. And I am preparing extra for in case some of them come. We're up in the White Mountains of Arizona, along the Mogollon Rim. We're more east, like in the Sholo area. We've got good aquifers here, and you know, most of my family lives down in Phoenix in a big city, and it's like I worry for them, and I pray about it. I try not to worry, but I know many of the Coast listeners can probably relate to that.
Oh, sure. No doubt about that.
My question, Steve, is it even important? We're down to $20,000 on our mortgage. We have no credit card debt, no vehicle debt. We're completely out of debt other than our home.
Good for you.
Is it going to even matter if our mortgages are paid off?
Well, I think that's a good question. You're in a blessed position not to have credit card debt. Right now, the credit card debt bomb is ticking. That will be the next thing that will go off. I would say this, when you've done everything you can do as you're able to, and you've got income coming in so you can continue to pay your bills and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. I'd say you've done everything, but you've also done the most important thing. The most important thing is that you believe God for his promise, for his protection, for his provision and guidance. That's the most important thing. And I got to tell you about loved ones. Loved ones, you can pray and believe. You can prepare for them. But the thing is this is something I deal with, probably 200 emails, 300 emails sometimes a day. How do I get people that don't see what I see to prepare? The thing I say in love, you prepare for them, but you just basically, if you can email them articles, let them see what you see and look to someone else to validate it. See, we try and validate to our loved ones or those closest to us what we see and what we know. It sometimes takes a third-party validation. I'm serious about praying. And by the way, I share your brokenheartedness. Prophet Jeremiah wept and wept and wept because the more he told people what was going to happen, the more they resisted. And I'd say this, that God created us in his image and likeness. And a lot of people don't think of the fact that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus wept over the people that not only wouldn't receive him, but they didn't recognize him for who he was. And I think that we weep right now for that which we see that people can't embrace. Listen, God does love the world. The devil's out to destroy the world. And I wish the insurance companies would get it right and quit blaming acts of that they see going on as acts of God versus acts of the devil.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for your ministry, and may God continue to bless you to get the word out. And George, again, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. You're welcome. You're welcome. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us, Winnipeg, Canada. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George.
Yeah.
Name's Wilford.
Hey, Wilford.
Winnipeg. Thanks for taking my call. I have an interesting story regarding lizard people, and I have a question about the approximately 5.5 billion people that are going to end up dying, you know, based on this takeover by
the Illuminati. If it happens, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, basically, it was about 10 years ago, I was having an Art Bell conversation with a buddy of mine there, and I was telling him about these lizard people, and you know, they're able to change form from human to to lizard and back again. And he's a Cypriot Turkish. At the time, he was with the Cypriot Turkish military. He was aware of a group of Turkish soldiers that went into Turkey, into a mountain range there, into some caves, and had to eliminate a nest, I guess, of these creatures who could change not only to lizard people, but also to other life forms. And he was telling me that they had, when they were trying to kill them, they were trying to, in order to escape, they were trying to change into other life forms as they were, you know, dying in a hail of bullets. I guess the scariest thing about it was that he's such a straight arrow kind of a fella. I was just shocked that, you know, he had, you know, was even privy to something like this. Never mind even, like, believing in it. Never mind being privy to it. That was a pretty eye opener for me. But as far as the 5.5 billion people goes that are supposed to perish and make way for the other approximately 2 billion, 2.5 billion that will be left over. I guess the question is, how are they going to determine
who stays and who doesn't?
Yeah, who's going to stay? And
well, Stephen, that's pretty simple. And I'll let you listen on your radio there, Wilfred. They've already decided they're the ones that want to stay. They don't care about anyone else. You agree, Stephen?
Absolutely. If you're not one of them, and believe me, they know who they are with all of their Illuminati ways. The thing is, by the way, I think we're just close to hitting, or we'll hit very soon, 6,666,666 people. So at that point, it will be interesting. The caller said still 2 billion people left. The plan is to kill everyone, and the plan, and how they do that too, is they've developed race-specific and gene-specific bioweapons. In other words, and I've said this on the show before, and people didn't believe it until it showed up in some of the magazines that are contemporary. And again, they listen to the show, George. And the fascinating thing about that is that, let's say you're blonde-haired, blue-eyed, they have weapons for that. They can pretty much delineate and describe genetically, and then they have a special recipe for that. I think it goes along the bloodlines, too. They have been searching for, if you will, the offspring of the Nephilim. Let me make it clear that Nephilim are the fallen ones. The word Nepal, interestingly enough, is a derivation in Proto-Hebrew. It means literally the mountain of the gods, whereas Bhutan means the garden of the gods. And what's fascinating is that when you take the language, again, it comes all the way through this idea of fallen, this idea of kicked out of heaven, this idea of producing a race of super beings, i.e. all of the Greekness, especially Hercules, etc. You can't separate this from history. And it's not just, quote, Greeks. It's not just Babylonian myth. It's not just, you name it. It appears throughout the writings and history. So what the caller doesn't maybe not grasping is that they have their ways, and they're already introducing. If you know that the population density of China and specific 10 largest cities in China, and you want to get rid of a lot of Chinese, you basically initiate an earthquake. They've done it all over. They'll continue to do it. They'll do it here, they being the Illuminati. If you know that weather modification can produce a drought, and that drought will lead to famine, then you can starve massive amounts of people. Kind of makes it smart that when you go to the store to maybe buy an extra case of whatever you eat. The point is that they, and see, this is what people, just because we can't understand how the integration and the actual implementation will take place, with the technology comes the ability. We're being sprayed every day, night and day. Most people can't believe the amount of sickness that they're experiencing throughout the country. What if that's a primary weapon, and they soon to go with a binary? And by the way, a gentleman named Weather Watcher, who's an old-time Cold War warrior, who was very high up in the U.S. government, was watching the RF, or the radio frequencies, the electromagnetic signals prior to the tornadoes, and he said that he's never seen them before. Keep in mind, that was his job, to monitor communications. And that not only that, but the U.S. Air Force was having problems with their radar, where in all the years that he was with the government, he never saw that. So the point is that something big is going on. This something big is so beyond most people's ability to grasp that they simply feel almost victimized. Now, if we tell them what's going on, and they understand weather wars and unnatural disasters, they understand that they can dare to prepare, and they can understand that with the knowledge comes the antidote for fear. I think, George, that we've given them something to work on.
What do you think of the false flag episodes that we keep hearing so much about, Stephen?
Well, the false flag episode is obviously an event that takes place. It's nothing more than the Hegelian dialectic. It's what, obviously, Hitler did. It's what tyrants do. Obviously, Goering's statement on war. The idea is that you can always make people rally around the flag, and you can be creating the events that are driving the flight. I think the big thing that everyone needs to watch for, and this is something we've really got to cover, is we've got to cover the fact that Iran is going to get into it. How do I know that? Well, it's simple. There's nothing new under the sun. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, up to the point that God said there'd never be anybody like him again. But the thing that's interesting is he said that which will be has already been. So just as we have a recurrence of the Medo-Persian Empire, We also have Babylon, and there are some people that just think that Babylon, for instance, Joel Rosenthal and some of the End Time Writer guys, think that Babylon is just Iraq that's being rebuilt, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if it was a mystery, it wouldn't be the historic Babylon. There are things that the United States, people say, well, the United States isn't mentioned in Scripture. I beg to differ. Of course it's mentioned in Scripture. We can be a mystery. We can be basically be, if you will, a form of spiritual Babylon. But if anything, we're economic Babylon. And can you imagine, George, if the U.S. dollar were to fail internationally, what the attitude of all the countries would be towards us? It would be scorned, ridicule, and they'd want us destroyed.
Even more than they do now.
Even more than they do now. What? So I believe, just want to go on record, I believe that the United States is mentioned in Scripture, that Babylon, the re-establishment of Babylon, mystery Babylon, is the United States of America.
West of the Rockies, Randy, California, you're on the air with us. Hey, Randy.
Hey, what's up, George?
Oh, all is well.
First-time caller, listening to you from KFI, Apple Valley, California.
Super.
Yeah, hey, my compliments to your guest. He's my new hero, along with Alex Jones.
Yep, they are fascinating gentlemen.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you what, if anybody doesn't believe this guy, they're in for a rude awakening because, I mean, all they got, this stuff is so in your face, and there's such a wide volume and scope of all this. It's anyways, what I was going to say is he's right on about all that.
Is he scary, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's
but
not
the
so
truth,
much scary.
The truth is scary.
Yeah. One of his one of your callers that called in just a little while ago, what was Noah doing before the flood came? He was building an ark, and he was running around trying to tell everybody.
And nobody listened.
Nobody listened. That's exactly right.
Stephen, are they listening to you?
Well, I would say some are. Obviously, I got to tell you something. Some people that have said to me something in front of you, I'll leave it to the imagination of listeners, what the word it was in front of the you are now saying thank you. And I think that's good. And I tell people, look, it's not about me being right or wrong. It's about if you love people, you don't want harm to come to them. And I tell people that if they want to find out who Jesus really is, not to look at the contemporary political slash Christian landscape, but to go and read the words of Jesus. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, that sort of has not set in. But also, people that think, well, he's a great prophet, the point is that he wouldn't lie. And if he's telling us these things that are going to happen, then I would tell everyone, I would get right. When people ask me, and I say this unashamedly, they'd better know who the real protector is in the 91st Psalm, the secret place. You know, again, this isn't preaching, George. What it is it's warning. I would say this, that if God is love, as the Bible says he's love, then he's going to do everything he can to try and keep the people from falling into harm's way. The devil's going to do everything he can to put them into harm's way. The caller just made a valid point. Most people don't realize that when this is interesting on preparation. I never knew this before, and it just hit me one day. Jesus had to flee. He had to leave the Holy Land to go into Egypt. And what did the wise men bring to him? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That was his survival. That was what Joseph and Mary had to live on all those years in Egypt until it was safe to go back. It's not that God, you know, wants anyone to perish. But the point is that the people that listen, Noah listened. Joseph was warned 7 years of good, 7 years of famine. Actually, Pharaoh in a dream, and Joseph interpreted it. And there's a prophecy. It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants and prophets. There's just too much stuff happening, too many events happening, and people have got to understand now that, well, they used to be able to set it aside and just deny it, or my favorite is ad hominem attacks. If people were to see the bags under some of our eyes that we literally are up massive amounts of time, and I know you are too, obviously, during the night, but
yes.
The point is that we spend a lot of time tracking down stories, verifying, interviewing, and Alex, I don't know how Alex does 5 hours a day in front, you know?
What energy he has.
What energy. Huh? But the thing is that the voluminous amount of information, look, this stuff is verifiable, and I tell people, before you go attacking the messengers, go and check the sources for yourself. And see, we're not telling people to believe us because we say it so. We're saying go and look at this stuff for yourself.
Well, and you have to find the information. Stephen, we have run out of time. SteveQuayle.com. That's the website. If you're interested in all of Stephen's work, that's where you go. Stephen, thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you, George.
And don't forget, our Friday and the Saturday morning Coast to Coast program will, of course, be none other than those world-famous open lines. So make sure you're part of the program no matter what. And we will be live when we get down to the Memorial Monday night show. We will have a live show for you that night. So here we go, my dear friends. For the entire staff, Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.